Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Welcome back, everyone. How is everybody doing today? I hope you're having a great day. I am unbelievably excited because there has been a Sasquatch sighting. Chuck McKee is back. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
Good. Where have you been?
You name it. I have been there.
You know, I've done a lot of episodes without you.
I saw that. And you
I've
know,
actually gotten feedback saying that never bring you back.
That's not true.
It is not true.
That's not true.
But yeah. It hurt your feelings for a second, didn't it?
You know, it's funny. I see all these updates come through on my phone. I'm like, how is there 7 updates on a podcast that I'm co-hosting? And I'm like, I haven't been here.
So because T-Bone doesn't stop.
We've had, took some family vacation, took some work vacation, took some work trips.
You mean you got serious about your work for a little bit?
You know better than that.
I think that's what happens in April.
April is a very busy time for us.
And that's really what got us. That's when we started getting off track.
Yep.
Usually April.
Yeah, just, you know, we're finishing up our fiscal year end, and there's a lot of installation, a lot of training. And with a busy April comes a busy May. And so,
especially when you care and want to take care of your peeps.
Absolutely. Integration, selling is the easy part. Integration is always something that takes the most amount of time and is the hardest. So, yeah, anyway, so looking forward to tonight. We've got a lot of good things to talk about.
They may be listening in the daytime.
What's that?
The people may be listening in the daytime.
It may be in the morning. Yeah. I talked to a fellow yesterday in Chapel Hill. And we were talking a little bit about his commute, and it's someone new I've started working with. And so he wanted to listen to our podcast. I said, tell me a little bit about your commute. He said, it's 10 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? Who has a 10-minute commute? So I said, you might be able to get through just a little bit of one and maybe catch some on the way home.
Well, that's where the Ask T-Bones come in.
Right. Well, they're 10 minutes, 9 minutes.
About 8 to 12 minutes long.
Yep. Yeah, they're going good. So how's everything with you? I saw you last week in your office for just a second, but I don't feel like I've been here in a month.
It's been crazy, dude. My life, I've had so many people look at me and tell me that I look like I'm just about to die.
What's that all about?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's been for years like this, you know, but I've had more people lately tell me I've got some, my health isn't as good as I want it to be. Certainly. I got some things going on there, but nothing major, nothing more than the usual for being a little bit heavier guy. I've just been a lot going on. I mean, I'm busy. My practice is busy. We've got some challenges that we're dealing with there. Speaking is just crazy. The seminars are doing very well. So I got a lot to be thankful for. But with that thankfulness comes the, honestly, Chuck, my issue is I'm looking at the next step already.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm like, okay, I started a training center. I've gotten it busy. We're up to 20 workshops a year. And I'm like, all right, what's next?
Yeah, I look back at some of the stuff that you're doing. You know, some of it comes at a cost sometimes, right?
So it does. It usually comes at the cost of family.
You know, we talk about balance. We've got to work on the balance. So maybe when things are going really well in one bucket, you can, you know, take your foot off the gas a little bit in the other. But we'll get to it. We're young. This is our grinder years. It's supposed to be a little bit hard right now.
I know. So listen. So here's what we're going to talk about today.
we're going to talk about patient experience, and we have a list of 7 things that we want you to look at and when it comes to patient experience. Now, certainly, I won't say that this is a comprehensive list or the end-all, be-all list, but it's 7 things. And what's really sad is in my mind, when we were talking through this and planning this out, I was like, these are just logical things. But there's 7 things that, honestly, I haven't thought about in months, you know, or maybe even half a year or a year. I haven't really sat down and thought about these things. So I think it's a great episode to take an introspective look at your practice. You know, I wrote a great blog post probably about 2 years ago about what I learned from the barbershop. And it talked about what your practice looks like from the outside, from the inside, your patient's perspective. And this episode is kind of like that. And, you know, so ultimately, I think the patient experience drives everything. So how you're perceived, perception is reality. How you're perceived is not just how good of a dentist you are. It's all about how you make people feel. And the truth is, listen, the absolute truth is that there are always newer, better looking offices that can be shiny new objects that can catch your patient's eye. In fact, we have don't have enough dentists in this area as it is. We have another office coming up next door. Did you see that being built?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So on that lot, that's about a block and a half from us, a dentist bought that, and they're building a freestanding building right there. So we're going to have, my guess it'll be 2 dentists, because I know who owned the lot and what it cost. So, you know, that's a pretty big undertaking there. So just another couple of dentists in the neighborhood.
Well, you know, we do this program at Patterson. It's something that we've been doing for a long time, and we always call it through the eyes of your patient. And that's something that you folks can't take for granted. Often you walk in the back door, your assistants, your team members walk in the back door, you walk through a staff door, and sometimes we forget to walk in the front door. And the other thing we do when we talk about looking through the eyes of a patient, so many things change. When you lay a patient back and they're in supine position, when's the last time you were that way in your own office and really looked around?
Oh, dude, I was like that Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
I had a phrenectomy done with a laser. It's interesting. It's interesting. Like, I remember the last time I really had the aha moment, I had a root canal done. I was like, God, you know, not that it hurt, but I was like, that sucks, you know, sitting in the chair for that long.
Well, you know, not even that. I want you to think about that. The minute you're supine, just go into your main operatory, go into the hygiene room, and just look around. Listen, we saw a lot of dental equipment with this exercise, okay? So when you lay somebody back in their chair, and what's the closest thing to their head, probably 3 feet away at eye level?
It's your crotch.
There's that, right? That's a funny story. I got to tell you a funny story about a doctor wearing scrubs too tight that their staff pulled me to the side about and said, how do we address the doctor with their scrubs that are way too tight?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Camel toe?
We'll,
moose knuckles?
We got to let's stay on task. But anyway, you see a trash can with a big old biohazard sticker. It's got a bloody gauze in. Okay. Yeah. It's right beside their head. My favorite thing too is when you look at your patient, your operatory light. So many times you folks,
it's got junk all in there.
You wipe it off with Cavicide, and then you're not really supposed to do that. Once you wipe it off, you're supposed to also then go back with soap and water and clean that Cavicide off at the end of the day. Well, that looks horrible. Then if you've ever used any type of ferric sulfate or viscostat, that stuff stains everything. And if you've got a dental chair that's older than 3 years old and your sterilization techniques are good, I promise you, your disinfectant has discolored it, and everyone wonders, well, why are those hoses brown? What is that? It just goes on and on and on.
Well, let's not give away the content here. Let's get into the seven things, okay? Again, we're going to talk about 7 things, patient experience, that you can look at in your office that you need to do almost right away. So let's start with number 1, Chuck. And number 1 is, how does your team look? So talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's something that's really interesting to me. There's a lot of different ways to look at your team. You know, you see the classic, what we call the Bill Dorfman look. Everybody's in black. Everybody has a white t-shirt on underneath their scrubs. Everyone's hair looks a certain way. Everyone wears makeup. The doctor has the certain coat on that stands out. There's that look. And then there's just a good uniform look. You know, the other thing is your staff, you know, predominantly the industry is made up of females. 50% of those are female dentists, right? So, you know, how does your staff come to work? Is it, you know, let's put our hair up and roll out of bed and put our scrubs on? You know, we talk about the frumpy look sometimes. Everyone has these really, really nice scrubs, but, you know, it's fun that we finally have scrubs that fit nicely, that, you know, the ladies and that can feel great.
Little stretchy.
Yeah, they feel great. You know, they're more fun. They're not as frumpy, but at the same time, we've got this really nice big bell-bottom look, and it drives me nuts when I walk into an office and I see someone's scrubs are dragging behind them on the floor.
Because they're too long?
They're too long. You know, so then you see, what kind of shoes are you wearing? Are you really wearing Crocs to work? I mean, come on.
As a dentist or the team member?
Either one. Crocs?
What's wrong with Crocs?
It's, are you gardening or are you putting an implant in? I mean, listen, you always have to ask yourself, when you walk into a facility and you're looking at your team, you guys are doing major surgery on people. And you have to always treat it that way. And so it's a matter of confidence. Do you have blue jeans on and Crocs and a t-shirt? So we can't take that for granted, right? So I always talk about, how does your team look and how should they look? You know, I think that's something that's entirely up to your brand. If you're a practice and you want that uniform look, you don't have to be over the top, and it doesn't have to look like everybody's a supermodel and you went to glamour shots before you came in. But I think it's something that everyone should have pride in, starting with the doctor. When you walk in, how does everyone look at you? Are you fresh? Have you had a good night's sleep? You know, how do you,
have you had your nails done?
Have you had your nails done?
You know, I got called out the other day for my shoes. Take a look at my shoes, Chuck. You know, see, I make too much money to have shoes that have big stains and scratches all over them. And, you know, I got called out for that. And it was important. Luckily not by a patient, but I'm sure patients have noticed. And so you need to do. So let me, my thoughts. Here's my thoughts. So, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with personality. I think your office has to have a personality. But here are the non-negotiables. And my wife is unbelievably good about this. She's like almost like a tyrant about it. Number one, I believe everybody should have a uniform.
Right.
Okay. So in our office, for example, all our clinical team members wear scrubs. The scrubs have our logo on it.
Right.
Okay. So I don't believe that it's good enough to just have scrubs. I want our scrubs to have a logo on it. That's important to me.
Do they all match every day? Do you have a day that everyone wears?
No, we have the same color. We used to try that, and then somebody would wear blue one day and somebody would wear green one day, and they wouldn't match each other. And you know, somebody, you know, depending on the detergent they use, the one blue may not look the same blue anymore. So we've gone to the same color scrubs for everybody every day to make it easier for the team. I believe our scrubs are black, and then I don't believe they are black. And then the key to me is that the top of the scrub top itself has our logo on it. Now, we also have our assistants and all clinical team members also have a jacket, meaning one of those black, not like a lab coat jacket, but one of those, you know what I'm talking about, those assistant jackets.
Right.
And same thing there, that also has a logo embroidered on it.
Okay.
Our admin team all wear black pants. And then they're allowed to wear the shirt of their choice, professional. And then we have a cardigan sweater for them. Well, I don't know if it's a cardigan. It's a button-up sweater deal.
Right.
And that also has our logo embroidered on there. So our belief is that we want to have our logos on things. We want people to know where they belong. And we want everybody to have a roughly the same uniform. And then we also want to give people some ability to express themselves in terms of what's going on. And what I have found is that some people will say, well, you know, this brand of pants don't fit me very well. So we're like, look, I made it easy. We give everybody a stipend. Go buy black pants. Okay, bring them to us. Let's make sure that we like them, make sure they fit. And I'm particular about how tight things are, how loose things are. I'm particular about those things. So, and then I'm also particular about how low cut the shirt is, or not low cut. So I want everybody to be professional. And that what I have found is that when you leave professional up to the eyes of the clothes wearer, it can be very not so good.
Right. Well, let's talk about the doctor. You do a lot of lecturing. You visit a lot of different dental offices. You have a lot of friends that you talk to about their practice. What do you see most people wearing? I know everyone's going to be different, and it's a way for you to express yourself a little bit. But I mean, I see you wear usually not khakis.
I don't wear those cotton khakis. I wear khaki dress pants.
Right.
And I wear a polo shirt.
Okay.
Not like polo, the Ralph Lauren polo, but, you know, like a golf shirt, let's call it.
Right.
And again, it has a logo on it as well.
Yeah. I see more of that often. What about when you're doing surgery?
Same thing.
Okay. Do you gown up much?
Not really.
Okay.
Because we're not doing any major surgery. I mean, we're not doing, you know, again, when you're guided and you're doing the type of implant work that we're doing, it's not major surgery. When we have days that we're doing major surgery, then certainly I'll wear a coat that day.
Most of your girls here have long hair.
Yes. We do ask them to wear it up.
Wear it up. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of people wearing much makeup, that kind of thing? Or,
you know, that really depends on, I'm not into the whole to dictating how much makeup they wear.
Right.
It's an uncomfortable conversation for me. It's something I'm not very good at.
Right.
But I generally want people to be professional. And honestly, you know, if somebody really looks out of place in terms of the amount of makeup they wear, I probably have some of the other team members, you know, I'll just politely say, hey, you know, that's a little bit odd.
Right.
Like I used to have one person that worked for me that wore the most obnoxious perfume, and it was obnoxious to me. And selfishly, I didn't like the smell of it. So I actually asked her, I told her that it made me have a headache.
You know, that's not uncommon. I hear that, believe it or not, more than anything. You know, so when you're talking about a professional team, it's not just about what they wear. I was in an office, and we're going to leave it at this, about 50 miles from here a while back. And I'm not kidding. I walked up, no, it was 4:15. We still had about 45 minutes worth of patients left. Three people standing outside the front door smoking. Now, that's okay. And I asked the ladies, I said, why are you guys up front? Usually you're in the back. And they're like, well, there's somebody back there on the phone, so we come up front. Now, let's think about that. You're a healthcare professional. Now, what you do is up to you. And the patients who come there may be smoking. But that just seems a little bit like an oxymoron to me. At the front door.
It's interesting you say front door. Well, hopefully my team members listen to this. They'll probably get a good chuckle out of this. I refuse to use the front door in our practice. When I come here, even if I'm the first one in the building, I will walk around to the back door, come in and out of the back door. When I leave for lunch, 99% of the time I leave out the back door. I'm a bit odd about using the front door. I think front doors are for patients. I think front doors are allow patients to see that I'm leaving. I don't want them to ever see me leaving. I don't want them to think like I hurried on them, like I had to get out of here. I don't want them to see me coming in late. Not that I come in late. I don't want them to see any of that stuff. I'm just very sensitive to that. And so I also ask my team to use the back door as well, to leave and to come and go. I'm just particular about it. I'm very particular about where we park. I want our team members to use the very back of the parking lot. Too often I see dentists mainly use the very front parking spot. And to me, that's about your patients and not about you. And so I like to park in the very back of the parking lot in one of the corners. And I want my team members to park back there as well. I want to leave all the best parking spots for the patients. I don't care if it's raining, snowing, icing, whatever it is. You leave the best spots for the patients. They're your customers.
Absolutely. You know, that's something been in a little more of a metro area for us. And it's funny to say that again about North
metro
Carolina.
Metro area.
But, you know, one of the things about that experience is how easy is it to get in and out? You know, we've built a ton of offices in the last 18, 19 years here. Believe it or not, I would have never thought that was a big deal. I'm like, you know, so if you're lucky, you have a patient sees you two or three times a year, maybe four max. And if it's hard to get out, it's only four times a year. But that is a very, very big deal for people getting out of an office. So again, it goes back to the patient experience. If you're thinking about building an office, that is a very, very big deal. Do you have a parking garage?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah. So I want us to focus. How does your team look? It has nothing to do with how your building looks.
Right.
But I'm guilty of that as well. So let's go to number two. So number two is, does your facility reflect you or the type of dentistry that you're doing?
You know, it's interesting. I had a client about 10 years ago. Again, I'm a very, very conservative rep, and I want you to keep your money in your practice as long as you can before we have to really do something, okay? And sometimes to a fault, I don't let the dentist do as much as they want to. I'm talking them out of a lot of things. So I had a dentist one day, great practice, probably doing 1.4, 1.5 million, about 52% overhead, one doctor, two hygiene. So he comes to me, he's been in his practice for about 4 years that he had purchased from another dentist. He'd already paid it off. He said, "Hey, I'm thinking about building a new building." I said, "What for? What for?" He said, "Chuck, you know, I'm a left-handed dentist. I do a lot of implants." And he said, "I want you to look around." He said, "Does this place really look like somewhere where you want to come and have implants done?" I'm like, "What's fine?" I said, "Why don't you wait another 2 or 3 years? Let's save up $300,000 or $400,000 and then let's talk about it." He said, "Well, I agree with you, but he said, I want to do it right now." And again, his whole thing was, this facility doesn't reflect the kind of dentistry I'm doing on patients. And, you know, and it was a dentist who taught me that. And I never really thought about it. I thought, you know, hey, you're successful. It's good enough, right? So that's something, you know, we talk about a lot. So especially when you have people who are stagnant, they're not growing. And we say, well, what is it? You're working hard. You've got some new patients coming, but why aren't they enrolling in some of your treatment? Oftentimes, again, you folks are doing very, very complicated, serious surgery. It may just be some bony impacted thirds, but that's major surgery. You're going to knock someone out. They're going to wake up an hour and a half later. And what are they going to wake up to? Is it old tile that's stained? Is it stained? You know, when they wake up, what's the first thing they see? So often you have to think about that. So yeah, that's something you've been through 3 times now.
Yeah, you know, and but it's interesting. Your focus, even for example, is really on the inside of the practice, and I think oftentimes people overthink the facility to a certain degree. You know, to me, I don't believe anybody needs a Taj Mahal, and I would say from the opposite side of what you're saying, too often our facility reflects something that we're not doing. Our facility reflects ultra modern, ultra brand new, the greatest and the latest, but yet we're doing fillings and crowns all day long. And not that there's, again, not anything wrong with fillings and crowns, but why would somebody build a Taj Mahal type, quote unquote, Taj Mahal type practice and only do fillings and crowns? And the other thing I look at, and this is something I've struggled with, and this probably has to do with how I was raised, not to care about landscaping, essentially to simply let the grass die because it was cheaper to let the grass die, is how your facility looks on the outside. You know, I used to have my sidewalk up front. It was cement, but it was this cement that had like pebbles on top of it. And what would happen over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had some snow events, and I would always be proactive and put salt out on that cement. And what would happen, the salt was slowly eating the top of that cement, and those pebbles were starting to wash out, and it was starting to crack. And, you know, there's a spot here, there in the beginning, no big deal, kind of out to the side, didn't see it much. But then the spots got much bigger and they got bigger and 1 year after the other. And before you know it, we had these areas that were quite embarrassing, quite honestly. And even then, I still didn't do anything about it. I was like, ah, it's not that big of a deal. And then suddenly I started having patients say something about it. And that's when it was like, okay, that's too much. And then we had an area where the cement, you know, there was a root that went under the cement. It popped up a little bit and it wasn't quite level. And then we had somebody trip and fall on it. And that's when it really got serious for me from a safety perspective, right?
Right.
So we had to go through and spend a significant amount of money redoing our sidewalks. I mean, that stuff's unbelievably expensive. And then the other thing that we had to do is I had to get more serious about our landscaping in the sense that I wanted our grass to be cut and mowed regularly. And I wanted it done on a specific day. And the landscaping contractor I was using wanted to come and do it on a Thursday. But when our office is mainly open Monday through Thursday, why would I want to do it on Thursday? Because then it starts looking, you know, unkept by Monday,
right?
Or Tuesday, right? So I wanted them to come and do it on Monday morning. So that way it looked the freshest through the week. So that fresh cut grass has that look, right? And I want that you know, that fresh cut look to be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But selfishly, those are the days I'm in the office. And when I pull up to the office, I want it to look that way. And then I had to get more serious about replacing the mulch around the office a little bit more. So those are the things that your facility, it's not just the inside. The other thing that we get serious about, especially if you own a building or even if you're leasing a building, is how often do you have it power washed? You know, here in the South, we have pollen and we have this green stuff that crams up in the corner and starts looking bad. Or you get cobwebs, you know, little things like that. And, you know, if that's what your patient's walking up to, whether you're doing comprehensive dentistry or single tooth dentistry, whether you're doing $500,000 or $2 million or $8 million a year, it doesn't really matter. You know, ultimately you want your practice to be reflective. I wouldn't even say reflective of the type of dentistry you do, but more reflective of the person that you are. you know, and I think that would probably be a more fair statement to say.
Well, we'll take that a step further. When you walk in, this is something too, and I visit a lot of offices. One of the biggest things, more than the appearance, the first thing is, how does it smell?
Yeah.
Now, and there's something that a lot of offices don't even realize it, but I'll challenge you to do this. When you're in your office all day long,
it smells normal.
Take your shirt off when you get home and smell it compared to your house. So dental vacuums, if you really think about this, this is something that you should clean after every single patient. Not at the end of the day, not after just surgery, but every single patient. And that smell over time is just unbelievable. You don't think it's that bad, but you know, we used to think former creosol or
Eugenol
was the smell that we associate with the dental office. Honestly, that's the biggest thing. Probably 65% of the time I see or smell in an office is the suction. Like, what is that? And listen, you can't put enough plugins in to hide that. You've got, I mean, honestly, it's like putting on deodorant for yourself every day. You've got to keep those dental vacuum lines clean. And the other thing we talk about a lot in a dental office, and it drives me nuts. You know, we used to sell a ton of cabinetry, and you remember when everyone would put 3 or 4 cabinets in their dental operatory? But you see stuff on every countertop. Clutter is not organization. If you're going to spend the money and have a beautiful quartz countertop, but yet you have it full of samples and you have it full of pictures and you have it all sitting there, there should be nothing sitting on your countertops.
Yeah, I don't like drawers either.
Right. I mean, we're just past that. We just don't need to stock these rooms up anymore. So when we talk about our facility and we talk about technology, and we'll segue into something that's really interesting to me is your TVs that we have. I mean, everyone has TVs.
So number 3, okay, is what channel is your TV on?
Exactly. You know, don't be afraid to admit to yourself your patients are here to spend some money with you, whether it's just for a cleaning, whether it's for an exam, whether it's for a crown. They know that you're running a business. Now, what they want to trust from you is that you're going to only do what they need done, nothing more. So when you're in there...
Well, I wouldn't say what they need done. I would say at a basic, they're not going to have you sell and convince them to do something. They want to have a trusting relationship and they want to choose what they buy. Some of the time it's going to be what they want, not necessarily just what they need.
Right. So often I'll ask someone... And honestly, it's my biggest pet peeve with technology. And we've talked about this before. Is it helping or is it hurting you? So when you walk into a dental office, why would you have negative news on? Why would you have, you know, I've got an office that's unbelievable. We're talking a multi-million dollar facility. And when I walk in, they have the movies playing chair side so loud that you can't even hear what's going on in the next operatory. Now I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to calm the patients down. Okay.
Well, they're also tuning the patient out.
More importantly, exactly. So if you want to tune the sound out, give them some nice noise canceling headphones or something. But we just need, if you have the money that you've spent on the technology, let's showcase the technology.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I used to be a big proponent of having TVs. In fact, I have TVs in every ceiling for my patients to watch TV, like a cable TV while they're laying down. And so now what I used to have is I used to go over post-op instructions and my patients weren't listening to me.
Right.
They were like looking at whatever the hell they were looking at on the ceiling. So now what I do is we come in and I'll walk them through what I'm going to do. We'll do our, you know, pre-procedure routine. Then we'll offer the patient our remote. And then what we'll do is we'll put on the channel that they want. We'll take the remote back. And then when we're done with our procedure, Liz, my assistant, will turn the TV off, so that we can have a debriefing on the procedure that we just did and any important things that we want, so the patient's tuned in to me. So that's what we're trying to implement in the hygiene department now. And that's what I'd like the hygienist to do. So we try to break our hygiene department into 20 minute segments of each visit. 20 minutes is on the information gathering, 20 minutes is on the cleaning, and 20 minutes is on going over the treatment recommendations. And that's the anatomy of the 1 hour appointment. And what I want is, I don't mind the patient watching TV during the 20 minutes of the cleaning, but I do mind the patients watching TV, especially during the information gathering and the treatment review part of it. Okay. So the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes. So I really want us to get better about that in hygiene. And a lot of it's just like we do with our kids. Just give them the iPad so they'll be quiet. Give them the TV so they'll be quiet. Just give them the TV so their mind won't be worried about what in the world I'm doing to them. And what we're doing is we're tuning them out or allowing them to tune out from what it is that we're saying to them.
Well, again, when you walk into most dental offices have kind of a shotgun approach, if you will. Very few have a lot of loops and turns. It's usually everything's down one hallway. So one thing I would encourage you to do, you're not going to a sports clips where you sit down and you have five TVs going and it's really loud. Do everything in your power to control that volume. So when you walk in, we remember that you're in a professional setting, that you're in a setting where we're going to be doing some cosmetic things. Not that we have Sports Center on one thing, and then we have
Fox News, MSNBC.
It's overwhelming. It's quite overwhelming. So just that's something I would encourage you to do.
You know, on a side note, I run the show, so I guess we'll talk about. I'll allow myself to go on a tangent, but not anybody else. Are you guys building more operatories with doors on them?
No.
It's interesting. I want my consult room to have a door on it because nothing drives me bonkers than people walking by and being loud when I'm trying to have an emotional and serious discussion with the patient.
A consult room is different.
I'm a consult operatory.
But first of all, you don't hear that a lot. That's an interesting term. I could see that. If you are going to do doors, the ones we have done, we see it's a glass door.
Yeah, okay. Across the door or something like that.
Well, you can see through it because we need to see what you're doing when we walk by.
Yeah,
so
it's some safety part of that.
Right. So and also, you can look at somebody and know when you can bother them and when you can't. You can tell by the eye contact. So very rare. Obviously, in pedo, we see it often, but most of the time, we just have a dual entry.
Yeah, and the dual entry is starting to drive me nuts a little bit. I need a way to tune out a little bit. I need a way to, especially because we have in our office, we have consult rooms, which are where we do financial arrangements and interviews and stuff like that with the patients. But then we have the consult operatory, and we have an operatory dedicated to where I see my consults and stuff like that. And that's where we're really having emotional conversations with patients. These are patients that are coming in and we're talking about their sleep. We may be talking about losing their teeth. We may, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to, you know, in a way sell them, you know, the different services that we have. And it drives me bonkers when I can hear what's going on. I can hear the TV. I can hear the radio. I can hear the hygienist walking, you know, because when they walk by with the patient and the patient's leaving, they're laughing, the chit chat, and all the things I want them to do. But then it's always right by me, and I can see my patient, you know, I'm talking to them and I'm not trying to be loud, but then I can see them, you know, having to lean in to hear me, or I can see them get distracted by why maybe what's going on in the background.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That operatory is always the last operatory a doctor has to upfit.
Yeah.
And so it's always their least favorite, and it's always across from sterilization.
Yep, and that's exactly where mine is.
Yeah, so the reason that is, it's you should take the best room you have for that. But when you're building an office, no one upfits everything at one time, generally speaking. Yeah. So you grow into your space. So the reason that is, it's your last room. That is a room that's easily retrofittable, by the way.
I know mine is. I know that. But I'm just saying that I'm surprised more people, you know, retrospectively, I would build my office with all doors.
Now, let's talk about the monitor in that room. I've been in there 100 times, but the monitor in that room seems a much larger than you have in the other operatories.
So we're replacing all the TVs. When you say monitor, you're talking about the patient education monitor, the viewing monitor.
Yeah, and let's talk about where you've put those.
Okay, so we have three monitors, and we have three TVs monitors in every room. In the 12 o'clock position, we have the clinical monitor, which is for our patient, for our assistant to do our practice management software and all of that. In the ceiling, we have a TV monitor, which is dedicated just to entertainment, let's call it. And in the upper right hand corner, as if you're the patient sitting in the chair, in the 1 o'clock position, let's say, we have a patient education monitor, the viewing monitor, which allows us to show the patient photographs, which allows us to show the patient x-rays, and which allows us to show the patient anything that we want them to see.
What do you think is a good size on that? I mean,
well, in the beginning, I wanted them to be flat panels, so they were cheap. I mean, sorry, they were expensive, so we were getting 20-inch, 22-inch, because that's, you know, that's all we could justify to spend. But now we're going to 42 inches in each room, and I think we've got two rooms left to update those two.
Yeah, so the traditional operatory in our market.
10 by 10, 10 now, by 11 maybe.
Actually, you know, we're going 11 and a half deep and at least 10 wide. Mm-hmm. We've gotten a little skinnier, but we've got a little longer for our technology to park it. So I think a 40-inch TV, 42-inch, is a perfect size. And I will tell you,
they're cheap. They're $300 max.
And if you have cone beam, it looks phenomenal on something that big. So just keep in mind what channel you have things on, and make sure if you have it, let's use it. Let's bring it in for our patients. Another thing we talk about, walking in the front door.
So now we're going to move on to number four. So just to recap, we've talked about three things so far. Number one is, how does your team look? Number two, how does your facility reflect the dentistry you do or the person that you are. Number three was, what channel is your TV on? And number four is going to be, do you have, I don't know why you call it this, the Dairy Queen window.
This is the one, every time we build an office, every time we remodel, anytime we do anything, we fight more with the business managers and the admin team on this.
The dreaded sliding glass window drives me bonkers.
Well, what's interesting is most of the time, team members love it.
Yeah, because they want to tune everybody out.
They want to close it off and they're like, hey, I don't want to have this conversation where everyone can hear me. Well, at the end of the day, like you said, those certain conversations shouldn't happen at the front desk anyway.
There should be a private area in the front desk.
So nothing, and I'm telling you, we see a lot of offices with the Dairy Queen window. It's not quite as small as it used to be. It's really nice glass. It's trimmed out nice in aluminum. But there's nothing more that says, hey, I want to tune you out. Then let me slide that window open and close that window. Listen, I get you want your privacy. Take that privacy somewhere else. There are things that we can do. We can build soffits. We can build some division walls for check-in and check-out. You don't need a lot of space. And I hear this often. Hey, my office is too small. It's too loud. Trust me. We've built so many. You can have an 800-square-foot office and create privacy without glass. So that is just something. If you have that, you've got to get rid of that. And here's what's really funny. When we see the Dairy Queen window, there's four stickers on it always. Visa, MasterCard, ADA member, and something else.
Care credit.
And sometimes Under Armour.
So that's from the days when you guys were Under Armour distributors, buddy.
So if you can, if you can stick something to it, you should probably get rid of it. Just open it up and trust me, you've got to get rid of that thing. That is just, that's the biggest pet peeve.
You know, I fought with my wife when we built her office about that. She wanted the sliding window as a medical practitioner. She wanted that. And I said, well, then the front office is set up incorrectly. Or the people are incorrect because they need to have a ability to know which conversations can happen at the front and which conversations need to happen in a more private room, whether it's on the phone or in person. You know, the other thing that drives me crazy about the front window, I absolutely hate it when our team members discuss financials at that front window. Drives me crazy. I don't even like them discussing financials at that side, the checkout, area counter. Quote-unquote checkout counter. It drives me crazy. And sometimes patients themselves automatically walk over to the front area, the front window, to take care of the bill or to do whatever. And I'm like, how did that happen? You know, that's when you ask the patient, do you mind, Mrs. Jones, if we can step back here, we'd be happy to take over the look over this. And that's one of the reasons I started doing patient checkouts in the operatories was our ability to avoid that happening. I want the patient to literally walk by the front door and just say, literally say bye to everybody, walk up by the front desk and say bye to everybody and not have to stop and have that dreaded visit with the front office person.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Yeah, so can we talk a little bit about the front office? Because that's part of the experience.
Yes, we can, of course.
Okay, so we're going to move on. We're going to call this number six.
No, this would be number five.
This is number five.
Okay, Chuck, you don't.
We've got a lot.
What kind of math are you doing?
I wish you guys could see. So Trune has painted every wall in this lecture room. You've got to see this room. It's probably, what is this, 50 by 50 in here?
It's about 2,500 square feet.
So every wall in here is painted this
whiteboard.
It's not whiteboard. It's got a whiteboard lacquer finish on it.
Yeah.
So it's like Einstein was in here writing equations. There's stuff written on every wall from your last class.
Yeah.
So every wall in here is just, you can write on.
And this is where I come to think, and this is where I come to work out problems with the team members.
So in saying that, so I'm going to miss a few things. So,
yeah, so that's why instead of putting check boxes next to them, you should have put numbers. Obviously, you're not that smart, Chuck. This is what happens when you take a break from my podcast.
So when you, okay, so we talked about, we came through the front door. Okay, we've talked about that. We've talked about your facility outside. We've talked about how it smells. We've talked about if it's organized, if there's clutter. We've talked about the TV in the front room. We've talked about the TVs in the back. So let's
do number five.
Which is?
The clipboard.
The clipboard.
So it kind of goes with the front office window, right? So nothing drives. So there's two things that drive me absolutely crazy about when I go to medical offices. One, they have a clipboard. And two, they have a pen on a chain.
That's always there. It's never changed.
I'm like, holy smokes. And it's always that black pen with with the little chain on it. And I just want to grab it and I just want to pull it and run out the door and see if they come chasing after me with it.
So,
For God's sakes, you can go to discountmugs.com and buy pens for like 10 cents each and just give them to patients with your logo on it.
You know, there are a lot of different offices. Some have integrated iPads. Some have, integrated different tablets.
You know what would be great is if Eaglesoft allowed us to do that.
So you're going to be very excited about what we're launching.
Okay. Here we go. Here we go.
So
garbage BS.
So I've heard we have an awesome cloud-based system that we're getting ready to launch in the next 6-7 months.
Is that another service club fee?
I hope so. So I get it. But for right now, we have different services where you can have your forms on your website and you can download them as a PDF and fill them out. Some of them are interactive, some aren't. But let's just talk about
them. Nobody does it well, by the way.
No one does it well. And, I've talked about this before. Our dental industry is there's only about 150,000 of you running around. And unfortunately, it's not a big enough priority for anyone.
Yes, it's you guys charge us enough that you guys, when I say you guys, it's every manufacturer, by the way, should make it a priority that I should no longer have to have a computer in my office other than for technology.
I get it.
Okay. I mean, there's nothing in dental software that can't be done on an iPad. So, for God's sakes, I can do Photoshop on my iPad.
So when we talk about that a little bit, so we're going to have a clipboard. We're going to have something to fill out paperwork. Again, I noticed.
But we have a leather portfolio.
Well, there you go. That was our next point. So let's talk about that. So you have your paperwork in what?
A leather padfolio.
Okay, and it's closed, and it's not stacked on the counter with six of them ready to go, right?
No. We have it pre-made. We try to put it together. When the patient comes in, we'll try to, we populate some information that we gather from them on the phone call, correct? So we try to print out that sheet of paper with that information already filled out so the patient doesn't have to do that again. So we have that, and we'll hand them a padfolio. It'll have a nice pen with our logo on it. I'm like NASCAR. I want our logo on everything, for God's sakes. And so we hand that to the patient, and we just want it to be just one step above. And what's sad is these padfolios cost like $8. I mean, just go on Amazon.com and type in padfolio.
What about the paper? Talk to me about that. Is that something you just ran through the copier, or is it stationary that all these things are printed on?
No, for us, it's not run through the copier. It's printed. So when you run through the copier, what I find is that it has streaks on it, that it has some areas where it's, you can see the copier edges. So we don't put it on our letterhead or our stationery, but we do buy laser paper for the office, and we do print everything out fresh for the patients.
Okay. That's something I wanted to ask, and it's important.
But we don't actually copy much at all.
Okay.
I find that copies look horrible.
Well, a little sidebar on that. So if you're going to use nice, good paper, we're checking somebody in. Again, when you touch good paper, if you even have an equipment order, or if you have something somebody's presenting to you, do you not notice when it's nice?
Yeah, I prefer it to be an iPad.
Okay, so when we do have paper that we have to deal with, and we have to scan into Smart Docs.
Chuck just rolled his eyes at me.
Smart Docs or whatever, the better the print, the better the paper, the better it looks in your software.
Absolutely, no question.
So
it'd be great if you could just sign in on an iPad and it automatically went into your software.
Can you tell that we're both just a little ADD and OCD about this stuff? So
get rid of the clipboard and get rid of the pen.
Right.
Right. Bottom line.
You're charging.
Get a padfolio. And so, listen, by the way, even our consents and everything are like that in the back. You know, even our consents, our financial arrangements, you know, thinking about this along the same lines is what do you give your patients your treatment plan in? What do you give them your financial menu in? We give it to them in a folder, our folder with our logo on it.
Is it a sticker?
No, it's custom printed. We buy 1,000 at a time. It lasts a year. Okay. They cost, God, they probably cost $300.
One crown pays for it.
Just like you guys, everything with you reps is, Doc, just one more crown and it pays for this.
You know what? It's because that's how you folks think, right?
That's not you folks. How other folks think.
You can relate to that. But yeah, I'll tell you a little pearl on printing things. If you're last minute like T-Bone, then you can go to Office Max on everything. But VistaPrint is a good one. What's that? UPrint is another good one.
Yeah, I mean, I use godprint.com to get all my printing done. I use 99designs.com to get a lot of my designs done. I think there's so many options on ways to get things designed and ways to get things done. You can use a site called upwork.com to get some of your freelancing work done. To get some of your mundane tasks that you want done. That's where I get my podcast edited and uploaded for me so I can focus on delivering the content. So we've talked about, let's see here, 5 things now. We've talked about how does your team look? Does your facility reflect you and the dentistry that you do? What channel is your TV on? Do you have the Dairy Queen window? And do you have that clipboard and the pen with the chain on it? So let's go to number 6 because we're going to run out of time, Chuck, and I promised them 7 things. Okay, number 6 is having Debbie Downer. So this was yours, so I'm going to let you go on this one, and we can't go forever here, okay, Chuck?
Okay, so this we always talk about the front desk person or the concierge, or if you have a business manager. A lot of offices have 1 or 2 people that are admin. A lot of people have 1, some have multiple. But whoever that first person is, your clients touch, listen, they've got to be a rock star, and they've got to be happy, and they've got to be sincere. There's nothing that will ruin a business like a person up front who's a little bit of a Debbie Downer. And then, listen, we all have a bad day and that's okay. I'm going to tell you a great quick story about an office I called on for a long time. And I saw these folks on Monday. And I'm telling you, this was a 10-year relationship. I walked in every other Monday. Hey, how are you doing? And we'll call the lady Samantha. Samantha, how's it going? Well, Chuck, you know, it's Monday. I'm like, yeah, it is. Isn't that great? We just had a 3-day weekend. She's like, yeah, but here, you know how it is on Mondays. So this went on for about 6, 7, 8 years. And then finally one day I asked her, I said, you know, let's talk about Mondays. Do you have Fridays off? And she said, well, we do. I said, okay. So you've had a 3-day weekend. Most people in America cannot relate to that. You walk in, you tell me every Monday is the same. What is the problem with your Monday? And she said, you know, our patients don't show up on Mondays. And I said, has it been that way for this many years? She said, well, yeah. And she said, we also have a lot of emergencies on Mondays. And I said, why is that? What do you do on Thursday that warrants an emergency on Monday? So I finally told her, I said, look, this is a day that should be your best day. You've got a lot of energy. You've had a 3-day weekend. And if you came to me and said, it's Wednesday, I know you're exhausted. But a Monday is a day you should have right. And if these 2 things keep on happening to you every Monday, then you need to change something. So anyway, I did some math on Mondays. The average person lives to be 94 and a half. So 17% of our life is Monday. So if you're in the dental field and you're having a tough day on Monday, that's a day you're going to have to polish and get right. But it's
by the way, I don't think you had to figure out if they were 94 years old that Monday is 17% or whatever, because Monday is 1/7 of our life.
Whatever. Okay.
I'm just trying to say, you see, you Americans, okay, you do not understand math like the Asians. Okay. So we Asians, especially the Indians, can do math like nobody's business.
Well, and one of the things about that person, it's not just when they come to your office that they need to be excited. Listen, folks have a lot of options now when it comes to your dental practice. And every single person needs to seem like they're appreciated and that you're grateful that they're there. Now, sometimes that's just the phone call when the person calls for the first time. Now, I'm not saying don't be disgenuine. You should be very, very sincere about every single thing. Make eye contact. When that person walks in the front, that's the only thing that matters. I get a little bit of pushback from people that I don't answer my phone very much during the day. Now, if you send me a text and you have an emergency, I'm going to step outside and I'll take that call. But I'm not going to answer my phone when I'm with you. I'm not going to answer my phone when I'm with Matt. I'm not going to answer my phone when, you know, I'm with Bruce or whoever. Because you know what? That's their time. Now, if you have an emergency and you send me a text, I'm going to step out and excuse myself and then take that call. But that's one thing I think there's definitely a lost art of customer service when it comes to, listen, these folks have a lot of options now. And you know what? There's so much parity in the dental industry, especially in this market. Everyone around you is a really, really good dentist, and it's almost a coin flip on who they go to.
No, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this. Probably the least paid person in everybody's office is that front office person, the quote unquote receptionist. And it's probably one of the most important positions in your practice.
Well, that person is usually doing your schedule, and that's a whole.
They're the ones that answer the phone. They're the ones that greet the patients when they come in. They got to be right. They got to be nice, and they got to be overly nice, and they got to be overly never defensive. They got to be the customer is always right.
Absolutely. And you know, and sometimes that might be an entry-level position that someone's making X amount, but that position should be a person who wants to grow.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a blog post, and we can link to it in the show notes. It was a 10 business lessons from the show Mad Men. And I talked in there about how Peggy Olson from the show started off as a secretary, and then she became creative director. And that was somebody that you brought in, you honed them. I call it replacing yourself. You want somebody to be in a new position every couple of years in your practice. So we've talked about six things now. And the other thing on the Debbie Downer deal, okay, I think to me, the worst part of it is they infect the team. The rest of the team. When you have look, when I come in and I'm tired and I've had a bad day and I'm, you know, it's after a course weekend and I've only had a half a day for a weekend and, you know, I'm tired on Monday, I can see my tone sets the tone for the rest of the team. And if you have a Debbie Downer, that sets the tone for the rest of the practice.
Right. Right. It starts with you. Obviously, we always say attitudes are a reflection of leadership.
Yep. Absolutely. Attitude is a reflection of leadership. Number seven, how does your equipment look? This isn't necessarily what kind of equipment you have, but how does it look?
Yeah, that's something really interesting. I'm going to give you some tidbits too and a couple of notes on...
This is coming from the sales guy trying to sell you something.
Actually, on some ways to get a little more life out of your equipment and also how to cover up some, we'll call them blemishes, if you will.
So talk to us, Chuck.
So the biggest thing that we do to equipment is that kills it is disinfecting it. You know,
why I choose simply not to clean my stuff.
Whatever. You know, it goes back to the age old thing. What killed the high speed handpiece? And it was when we had to sterilize it. I mean, the worst thing we can do to a high speed handpiece is sterilize it, but we absolutely have to do
that's
that.
That's why I choose not to sterilize them.
He is just kidding. Okay. Just in case a patient is listening to this, he is just kidding. So, you know, one thing that happens is, you know, when you use Cavicide or use Birex, all of this stuff has a little bit of a tint.
I use the Chinese version from Alibaba.
So when you take your brand new ADEC chair, your new Serona chair, whatever you have, and you have this nice ultra leather.
Why can't it be royal?
Well, whatever it is, it has a Tempur-Pedic, you know, padding underneath it. Well, when a patient's gone, you guys rip off the bag, which you should please tell me you're using a chair cover. You take off the chair cover, and then we disinfect it like you're supposed to do.
I don't use dental chair covers. We use poly bags from Amazon.com.
Okay, that works. Okay, so quit interrupting me. This is driving me nuts tonight. Okay, so what you're supposed to do, and it's really critical, if you call any manufacturer, they're going to tell you you're supposed to clean it with soap and water. And we all know that you can't do that, right? You're going to have to disinfect it. What they mean by that is once you're done disinfecting your chair, at the end of every single workday, you should have a spray bottle that's soap and water. And you spray your chair down, and you're going to wipe off that residual Cavicide or Birex or whatever it is you use. Because when that stuff sits overnight, it's very, very sticky, and eventually it dries out the plastic, it dries out the ultra leather, it dries out all the silicone tubings that we use, and that's why it gets that stained look.
That brown look.
Exactly. So
I love it when they come, like we suction up impression material into our suction tube.
Yes.
I don't know why we use impression material, by the way, as a digital office. It drives me bonkers. But we suction up the impression material. And then Jerry, who happens to be my Patterson service technician, by the way, every time he comes in, it costs me $180 for him to just sniff our parking lot. And so he comes in and we like Jerry. I like giving Chuck a hard time, by the way.
If you spend more money, that would be less, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, because if I just had the even better equipment than I already have, right? So when he comes in, he'll put a new hose on, right? And I'm like, wow, that hose is beautiful because it makes you realize how ugly your old hoses are.
So let's talk about your upholstery on your dental equipment, okay? So when a patient sits down, a lot of times, again, just wiping it down, and that's something I'm telling you, if you have a new patient you're talking about, say, look, when you look around a little bit, this is top-of-the-line equipment, always... You know, be proud of what you have because the patients don't know. And listen, it sounds crazy, but when you show them your handpiece and everything, you should not use that handpiece in front of the patient until you open that sterilization pack in front of your patient. Okay. And when you look around and say, yeah, this equipment is, you know, we've had it for, you know, a few years, top of the line. We love it. One thing you'll notice, maybe if it is discolored and you feel like you need to talk about it, the chemicals that we have, one of the reasons it costs so much to come to the dentist are these chemicals are hard on our equipment. It stains it, so we have to replace it a lot. But one of the things you can do to hide that blemish is something you should be doing anyway, is you should be using a lot of barriers. And I know dentists hate barriers. I know hygienists hate barriers. But you can take a really nice clear chair cover, put over your unit, tie a knot in the back, and then also put some barriers on your tubings. Okay. And believe it or not, it'll create a little bit of a glare. The patient just can't see all that brown stuff. They can't see the viscostat stain. The other thing we got to look about, and we talk about is your equipment, is look at your overhead light.
That's why we got rid of those.
They're disgusting. And you know what? We know they're clean, but when you wipe them off with a disinfectant wipe and then you turn it on, most of them are halogen. Not everyone's gone to an LED. That stuff just gets baked on there.
The other thing I see is, you know, because there's a gap in the lens cover, mm-hmm. dust gets inside of it.
Yep.
And when's the last time you really clean inside of it? So, you know, and I'm dead serious about this. We got rid of all the overhead lights in our practice. We have everybody wearing headlights. Headlights are, in today's world, a great headlight is $300, $400, $500, $600 maybe. I have seen no reason to have an overhead light anymore. To me, everybody should have a headlight, and everybody, all your clinicians, which means dentists and hygienists, should have loops.
You know, on that note, again, talking about the patient experience, this is something you folks just do. But, you know, there really is something to be said about the image that portrays when you have that on. It does give you guys a little bit of an edge the way you look. I mean, again, you joke about it because you do it every day. But I love it when I see a hygienist who's invested in nice loops and a nice light. And I know, A, it's made them better clinically. But, you know, what does that do for a patient when they look at that and they say, wow, I didn't see that at my last dentist.
Yeah, you know, and everything's perception is reality. You know, the other thing I would say on how your equipment looks is, and maybe I'm just overly critical about this. I get my chairs reupholstered.
Yes.
You know, and I think nothing refurbishes a piece of a chair, a dental chair, which is probably one of the most expensive non-technology items, and although chairs are becoming technology items now,
right.
Non-technology items in your practice, you can get them reupholstered. We had them, ours reupholstered. They looked unbelievable. You can have them reupholstered with the Tempur-Pedic mattress inside of it. We had ours with massagers built into it. And, you know, yeah, it wasn't cheap as the $600 reupholstery, but for like $1,300, $1,400, we had all our chairs reupholstered each. I mean, $1,300 each, and they look brand new. And I will say they look better than the day we got them.
Well, I will tell you one thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Often we see you all trying to create that experience for your patient. And too often I see someone, they'll lay a different type of Tempur-Pedic liner on top of their chair. Now I want you to think about it. That's something that's always bothered me a little bit, because there's some that look like a little bit of like a thin sleeping bag and some look like a mat.
And then, but they hold dust and stuff in them.
Well, I think as a patient that I'm laying in somebody else's bed sheets, because yeah. I mean, how can you really disinfect that?
We don't spray, so I don't know.
But you guys don't have that. But I think about that with people often.
Well, we used to have that, you know, and you know, it's interesting. You know why we got that? Because my chair's got holes in it from the screws in the chair seat, because I didn't change the upholstery enough.
That was because of the brand you bought, but we're gonna leave it at that.
But you guys sell that brand now, so I'm just saying
we have that brand. That mean we sell that brand.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying you have
so, it. So anyway, one thing I want to talk about, because I know we're running out of time, and it's the office tour. Okay. We're talking about the patient.
Yeah, we suck at this.
And this is something, you know, you and I talked about this just the other day. I saw a patient of yours here videoing a CEREC. We talked about that, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the office tour and spend 3 minutes on this, and then we'll move on. When you bring a patient in, you've spent a lot of money on your facility. I mean, whether it's just the floors, you know, you're walking past the I Love Me wall. Whatever it is, when you walk somebody past your x-ray, whether you have a cone beam or you have a digital pan, hey, did you know this digital pan we have? Now, sometimes we don't have to use this uncomfortable sensor anymore. We can do your routine x-rays with our Panorex. Did you know that we also treat TMJ? We have this machine here that we can look at your TMJ joint. Now, that's something simple to me and you, but a patient doesn't know that. Walk them past sterilization. And don't be afraid to talk about money. Hey, did you know that it costs us $55 for you to sit in our chair? Let me show you why. So we have to talk about these autoclaves. We have to talk about these pouches. We have to talk about the labor just to turn that room.
How about the stupid strips I have to put in all my cassettes now?
So we have the strips. We have the tape. We have the particular paper. We have the cleaner.
The log sheet.
Yes. So all these different things, walk them past your sterilization. I'm going to tell you, it'll also make your team, it'll force your team to keep that clean. I promise you, when they walk by, there's not going to be a bloody third molar laying on a tray on your granite countertop, okay? The other thing is showcase your Cerec technology. I know you all do a lot of these restorations all the time, and you're used to that. I'm telling you, 2 or 3 out of 5 patients have still never heard of this, and those are your patients. Walk them past your room where you have your implant motor. Walk them by the room where you keep your laser. Walk them by and show them your endo motor. Say, one of the things we love about Dr. Agarwal, we love about Dr. K is that, you know, most of the things we can do, we can all do it here. These guys are so educated. They've reinvested so you don't have to keep coming back. So the office tour is huge. Everyone's horrible at it. Everyone's horrible at it. And that's something we should do. We should showcase it.
Yeah. So we talked about 7 things to enhance your patient experience. Number 1 was, how does your team look? Number 2 was, how does your facility reflect who you are or the dentistry that you're doing? Number 3 is, what channel is your TV on? Number 4 is, do you have the dreaded Dairy Queen? And no offense to Dairy Queen. If you look at my belly, I kind of like Dairy Queen. So what, do you have the Dairy Queen window? Number 5 was, do you have the dreaded clipboard and pen on a chain? Number 6 was, do you have a Debbie Downer in your practice? And number 7 was, how does your equipment look? And does it reflect, again, the type of dentistry you do, or have you been taken care of it, and or the little things that you can do to do that? You know, I wanted to go back to one thing, Chuck, that you talked about, and that was a smell in the office. I think one of the great things that we invested in, and I stole this idea from somebody else, was we bought a Weston smell machine. So if you go to weston.com, you can buy their smell machine, and it's, I don't know, it's like $120 or so. It plugs into the wall, and then they sell you a filter that lasts once a month that costs like $40, and it makes the place smell great. In fact, I need to get another one so we can put it back in the clinical area, and it really allows our office to smell, to have that nice, relatively fresh fragrance, not overwhelming fragrance, but a nice, refreshing fragrance in the practice. So, you know, I try to end every podcast with a little rant, not in a negative way, but an inspirational rant. And, you know, too many people don't love their profession. And I think they don't love their profession because they don't take pride in what they do. And then these are the same people who complain about being burned out, complain about not doing the type of dentistry they do, complain about the types of patients that they have. And a lot of it has to do with how you reflect. Do you dress nicely? Does your team dress nicely? Do you have rules in place? Do you have policies in place? And we all hate rules. We all hate policies, but we have to have them. You know, I remember Ronald Reagan, and I'm not trying to be political. He always wore a tie when he worked, you know, as a president, because he believed that was, you know, the thing to do. So you have to have a culture, and you have to have an experience, and that experience in your practice is based on the culture that you as the dentist, you as the leader, you as the office manager, you as the hygienist set, because every department has a leader. We have a lead hygienist. We have a lead front office person. We have a lead assistant. We have a lead dentist. You know, we set the culture and the experience. And I will tell you this, that all dentists are becoming a commodity. If you're not making a difference, if you're not separating yourself, because we're all doing the same things at the end of the day, we're not doing enough stuff, we're not, you know, separating ourselves, it's going to come down to experience. What does your patient perceive about your practice? What does it look like? Like, for example, just a simple thing in my practice, we need to repaint the parking lot lines in our building because they're getting faded. Patients are saying some of them are crooked. You know, the last person I got off Craigslist to do them did a bad job, you know, and so these are the little things that you got to do in your practice to make sure that people know that you're maintaining it. It's not just on the inside. It's not just the equipment and technology. It's not enough. Okay. I would say that if your place is dilapidated and it's old, invest in how your things look and feel before you invest in technology, because you got to get people to buy. You got to get people to be comfortable. You got to get people to be confident in your practice. And a magical technology isn't going to make them be comfortable and confident in your practice, but how they look and feel, and how they feel, that feeling they get when they walk in, will make a difference. So thank you again. I would love it if you guys could do an iTunes review for us. It would make my day. The guys at the Dental Hacks, Alan and Jason, good friends of mine. They have 100 and some reviews. I've got 17. So I need you guys to do that for me. It's very important. Number 2, I need you guys to submit questions. The questions are slowing down a little bit. The questions that you submit drive our podcast, the content we deliver, the content that we haven't asked T-Bone. And then I really need you to help us spread the message. We invest a lot of time, energy, and some money and doing this podcast, and we don't have sponsors and we don't do any money. And in fact, I don't even promote my courses in the podcast. So really, I want to reach more people. I want to deliver a message. And so your help would be greatly appreciated that. And thank you for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.